What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Well, what a week it's been. What a few days, I guess, because last time we did this, it was back on Tuesday. Now it's Friday, March 28th, and a lot has gone on in the last few days. Great time to be a fan of the National Hockey League. Welcome to Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Coming up later on, Alexa Datt will join us. She's a St. Louis Blues reporter and host. She's also a host and reporter, Vic, for the Cardinals. So she's on cloud nine right now. Baseball started, so she's got the best of everything happening. The Blues playing well. Great comeback win last night. We'll talk to her about all that, all things with the Blues, and also go 77 seconds in with Alexa as well. We'll go to the East, talk again about John Tortorella being let go, the big story out of many this past few days in the Eastern Conference. But let's begin with that game last night in the West. Again, we go through seven topics, seven discussion points in each conference. We'll give you our picks of the night as well. That was quite a game last night between the Calgary Flames and the Dallas Stars. Final score 5-2.
Doesn't tell the story at all.
If you just looked at that final score, mm-hmm. You woke up in the morning, 5-2. Okay, well, yeah, Dallas is better. They got two more points.
Sure.
Tough loss for Calgary. So many things in between that 5-2 game.
We promised, I think it was last episode, that we weren't going to talk too much about goalie interference.
You did.
We are. I'm a liar because we're going to talk about it again right now.
Yeah.
Because we have to talk about it. This might have been the most egregious I've seen. And that's saying something in terms of not only a bad goalie interference call, but also a goal that was called back. Now, both of these went in against the favor of mm-hmm. the Calgary Flames. So it wasn't the last time we were talking. It sort of all worked out in the wash, the two teams
right.
who were playing each other. This wasn't
right.
the case. The Calgary Flames are fighting for a playoff spot. They're fighting mm-hmm. hard. They're not in one mm-hmm. right now, but they are battling hard. And it yeah. is within striking distance. This game mattered a lot to them. And there was first a goal called back, apparently that they thought Connor Zary kicked it in.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, I watched that replay 10, 12, 15 times. No kicking motion. We have seen goals go off other people's feet and body parts countless times that have counted, that have resembled that goal 100%. And then later on, insult to injury, a goal is also called back because of goalie interference where, frankly, I didn't see it was Joel Farabee apparently interfered with the Dallas netminder, and I didn't see that one at all. That would have made the score, if those two had counted, which they should have, in my view, that would have made the score 3-1 for Calgary at the time, and it's a completely different hockey game after that. I, along with a lot of other people, fans of this game, we love this game. They've got to clean this up. They really do, because it's starting to really take a negative effect.
Yeah. This all comes, too, on the heels of when we last discussed this, the game between Columbus and the Islanders with the Kyle Palmieri.
What a week.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to respectfully disagree with both of those. I think the NHL got it right.
Really?
No. On both of these calls.
You thought Zary kicked it in?
Yeah, so the way I look at it is this. There's a couple things with that whole thing. It's the kicking motion. Or if it was directed in, right? So there's two different things. If it's a kicking motion distinctly, then that's one way to look at it. Or is the puck directed in? If you watch him going toward the net, again, you take yours, I take mine. It is so close, I think, in this. When you're trying to stop, we played hockey. You stop if you're stopping kind of to the right, you stop like this. You don't stop like that. At the last second, he moved his foot and the skate this way, if this makes sense, and people not watching, I'm kind of putting it on the angle that you don't usually stop at. And it was at that last second, and the unfortunate part of it was the timing. And if you look at it, it basically, yes, he's trying to stop, I get it, but that's not the normal way to stop. And to me, that was more, maybe he didn't do it on purpose, but that was a distinct motion of changing your angle of your skate, and the puck went in.
Brian, that was a goal.
The second one, and I'm going to quote Brian Ray's tweet on this. We've had Brian Ray on the program mm-hmm. before. And he covers guess. Dallas. And he said this. He said this about the Blake Coleman's tying goal. He said, if you invade – I didn't talk to him about this. We can use it, but whatever. He's fine. If you invade the blue paint on your own volition, you take all the liability on for goaltender interference. Just a half second before, he had his skate in the blue paint, and there was a little bit of a nudge to Casey DeSmith. So I think there's two ways to look at
all
this. We're
talking about Joel Farabee.
Yes, or Joel Farabee, yes.
Okay, he was in the
two ways to look at this. Number one, this comes on the heels again of that game between Columbus and the Islanders that everyone said, hold on a second here. And that, again, was a massive game too, right? Huge game for the Islanders. Mm-hmm. That extra point they didn't get. So you look at it like that, and now this rears its ugly head. The second way to look at it is that there is still so much gray in this. And I think perhaps the referees, everyone knew what happened in that last game between the Islanders and in the Columbus Blue Jackets. Everyone was going to look at the refs a little bit harder this time around if something like this happened, let alone twice in the same game. So again, I respectfully disagree. I think the NHL got it right. I think they did the right thing, and it was the right call. It stunk for Calgary that it came as such a crucial
game. That's not playing into, in my opinion, at all. I think I think they were two hockey goals. I think they were absolutely two hockey goals, and they were called goals. They went so far as to overturn them.
Because, again, part of it is when you call a goal on the ice, you need to give 75, 80, 85% of show me that there's reason to think that that is not a goal. And I think if you keep looking at it, there is reason. You have to call that.
All right. Anyways, I disagree wholeheartedly. So too bad for Calgary.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
I'm very much in line with what Blake Coleman said after that game. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say you want to talk about Kadri, but go ahead.
Yeah, and we'll move on to Kadri in 2 seconds. What Blake Coleman said after the game, first of all, I really like Blake Coleman, and I think he expresses himself very well. And
he said,
we're out there busting our behinds. He didn't say behind, but I will. Mm-hmm. We're out there busting our behinds, and then somebody behind the desk is making these decisions and turning the game in a different direction. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, but we'll drop it now. One thing I want to say, and I've been thinking about this, about Nazem Kadri for the last few months, but I mean, I've been a fan of his, you know that, for years.
I have too.
We both have, since he's basically entered the league. He is one of the most underrated leaders, in my mind, in the NHL. I know he isn't captain of that team, Backlund is, and that's great, and that's how it should be. But in terms of the unseed leadership,
right?
He doesn't wear one, but I think he's very much viewed as that. Every time he speaks, first of all, another 30 goal season, so there's that. Mm-hmm. But him coming out too and just speaking on behalf of his teammates, and also on the ice, he's scoring the clutch goals. He's the one who's tying it up. He's the one that doesn't let his teammates quit. All those come from behind wins that Calgary's enjoyed lately. I think Kadri and his leadership deserves a lot of credit for that. I just wanted to get that out there.
And I completely agree with you. And this, again, goes to my whole notion that I do not believe and think that the NHL really needs to have a captain anymore. Nobody really needs to wear the C. You lead by whatever. You lead by example. I know it's historic. I know it's part of everything. But to your point, Nazem Kadri is a really good leader. I know he's made some dumb plays in the playoffs before,
he's
but whatever.
He's matured, though, Ryan.
All the 32 teams would love to have him on their club. Mm-hmm. Every team in the 32. Let's talk Minnesota. And I said this yesterday and you and I have talked about this before, that they just quietly go about their business. There was a big one last night against Washington. We'll talk about, again, a really, really classy act by Alex Ovechkin at the end of that game. So that snapped a two-game skid by Minnesota. 5 wins in the last 10, but they have 87 points. They played 73 games. Do they have enough to catch Colorado? Well, if Colorado goes in the dumpster, which they're not going to, so more than likely. Yeah, it's going to be Minnesota, whoever, in that first, second wildcard spot. Eriksson Ek is back skating. Kaprizov is back skating. We talked the other week about Gustafsson and how impressed we are about him in goal and how good he is and how underrated maybe the guy is. Mm-hmm. But you watch out. This team getting healthy and those two keys coming back with this Minnesota team. And I said this yesterday. If there was one team in a wildcard spot, say the postseason began tonight, if there's one team that could go on a bit of a run than other wildcard position teams could, It would be Minnesota in my mind.
They're sneaky. They're very, very sneaky. Now, we're not expecting either one of them back yet imminently.
Right.
But we're looking at, I think, within a week, it
sounds
like. I think
so, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the fact that Filip Gustavsson is 20, I believe he's 27-16-4. All right. He's one of the best netminders. His underlying analytics have been outstanding.
They have been.
And, but that winning record, never mind his own personal numbers, because that's a different kettle of jam. His winning record without the two best forwards on that team out for extended periods of time. I know right. Eriksson Ek hasn't missed as much time as Kaprizov, but he's missed a fair amount as well. All mm-hmm. the time without Jonas Brodin, arguably their best defender. Now Brodin is back. Now mm-hmm. we're going to get their top two. Ryan, they are the top two forwards on that team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
getting them both back. Just for a warm-up before the postseason.
Huge.
What a win. What a win for the Wild. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And again, watch out for them if the postseason began today or tonight. Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota has a great chance of doing things. I know that they're in tough against those top two teams in the Western Conference. Every team would be, but I'd put some money on them if I was a betting guy, which I'm not.
I am, and I probably will, because the odds are going to be great.
Right?
They're going to be fantastic. No. Oh, yeah, they'll get a little action from me.
Yeah, no, they...
But they will.
I know. I'm sure they will. Yeah, I'm sure they will. I love that. Every time you put a bet down and it's not like you bet huge amounts.
But no. I do it for fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And they come back in a good way. I get the text from you. I'm like, oh, fantastic. This is great. Woo. Here we go. And let's go out and have a drink.
Right.
Let's talk Edmonton. Leon will be back soon.
Thank
hopefully.
Goodness.
McDavid back soon as well, which is great. Stuart Skinner the other night. And we'll talk about Mikko Rantanen too. Oh yeah, we didn't talk about the injury to Zary in that.
Oh
in that
my
first
goodness,
game.
The guy's knee blew off. I feel so bad for him because he just
terrible.
Went through this. Connor Zary suffered a pretty nasty knee injury. They're not coming out and determining yet what it is. It doesn't matter. Anybody who saw him, he couldn't put any weight on it, and he was crying.
Same knee that he injured
earlier. I feel so sorry for that kid. I feel sorry for the Flames. He's a big part. That was just a crummy night for Calgary and an undeserved one. But yes,
and,
all right.
And I was how I was going to tie into this was Mikko Rantanen was the one who slipped, blew a tire, fell, and then whatever. But the other tie in with this in the Edmonton is that the other night he was going by Stuart Skinner and he was trying to get around the net in front of him, and the knee made contact with Skinner's head. He had to leave the game, etc.
Right.
So you're saying here in the lineup, Calvin Pickard ain't it. Edmonton better heal quick. That was as close to a rhyme. Pickard ain't it. Edmonton heal quick. That's as close to a rhyme, Vic, as I've seen.
I know you're a bigger fan of Calvin Pickard, who I think is a fine enough goalie.
Sure.
Not like I want to knock the guy.
No.
But how the Oilers' defense is playing team defense in front of him, he's mm-hmm. not good enough. Stuart Skinner hasn't been good enough. They need McDavid back. They need Draisaitl back again, you mentioned, hopefully soon. That mm-hmm. loss to Seattle last night, Ryan, that was bad.
It was bad.
And it wasn't like they got out goal lead or they fought hard and they just mm-hmm. came up short. They stunk. They stunk from the get-go, and they deserve mm-hmm. to lose that game. And we're talking to the Kraken. This isn't Colorado, Vegas, Dallas, Leafs, Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is the Seattle Kraken. And this time of year, when you are jockeying at least for home ice, you can't mail it in like that. You simply can't.
No, you can. And the numbers on Pickard, again, I've been supportive of him, and I still do maintain that he should. Yeah, 5 goals on 29 shots. I mean, that's just terrible. 828 save percentage. In a game that you should get those 2 points, again, trying to lock down home ice advantage in that first round, whatever the case may be, you got to figure out a better way in order to,
thing
done. Colorado, my pick at the beginning of the season to win the cup. I mean, come on. I don't think Colorado needs to make any statement of a game. But I do like what they did last night. They beat a very good Kings team 4-0. Blackwood getting the shutout.
They stunk.
Marty Natchez, 20-plus points in 20-plus games with his new team. I mean, you and I could probably do that too because we play with McKinnon, whatever. I know I've said that quite a bit. But you got to watch out for this team. They can go deep. And if, again, the playoffs began tonight, I'm still maintaining, regardless of where they end up, they're my pick to win the cup.
They're starting to scare me more and more and more. But if you're looking at that, what's the first round matchup, Brian?
Yeah,
it's
I know.
With Dallas.
I know.
Right?
I still have Colorado. I still do.
But one very, very, very good hockey team is not going to advance, no matter what.
I know.
You can just hope as a fan, unless you're invested in one side or the other. And I know you and I are not, other than your prediction, right? But if that goes seven
games... I'm invested. I have to be. Don't say I got to stick with what I said in September. Yeah.
It's not only, and I had the Predators finishing on top of the Western Conference. Anyway.
Yeah, I think they got knocked out, didn't they, last night?
They did. Yes, they it's did. Over. Yeah, okay. It's over.
It's over.
It's not only the Nathan MacKinnon, Marty Nejc's show, though. You look at this. Ross Colton has recently been a point-per-game guy, and actually effective presence all season. Nichushkin continues to be a beast. That guy, man, when he's healthy. What a game changer.
So dominant. So dominant. Yeah.
He is so dominant. Brock Nelson is fitting in really well. Like everything is just, Cale Makar is Cale Makar. Everything is just tickety-boo. And they're getting good goaltending too. It's, they're starting to become. I would be, if I was a fan of another team in the West that I was hoping might advance through, like Winnipeg or Vegas or LA or the Oilers, I would be very wary of a matchup with the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, and quickly too, we'll talk Vegas because yet again they're doing what they always do and what
they're
just
winning
since,
hockey games and nobody talks about it
since day one. I don't know because you just expect it, right? If they go on a losing skid,
then we talk about it.
They're winning four, they're winning five. What are they? Six wins, two regulation losses in the last 10 games, and they continue to lead that Pacific Division. They're on top by 5 points now, and both the Kings and Vegas have the same amount of games left. They have 11. Edmonton, they have 10 games left to go. They're 87 points. So right now, this is Vegas's division to lose, obviously.
They're not.
But that's another team. No pun intended with this, but that's another club that you'd put some money on, certainly in the first round.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whoever they match up with as a wild card, Minnesota would be interesting, I suppose. And I guess that's how it would line up, right? Right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now will be Winnipeg against the Blues and Minnesota against Vegas. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That would be an upset. That would be tough. That's a big ask of the Wild.
And Dallas, Colorado, as you mentioned, one of those two very good teams is going to be out. They would open up in Dallas if the season began tonight. The Kings would open up at home against the Oilers.
There's so many great matchups in the West now. I'm already excited.
I kind of wanted to go. And if you look now, let's just quickly wrap this, and then we'll do the lock of the night. We'll go to the East in a second. So there's starting to get a little bit of a separation between the second wildcard spot, the Blues, and it helps when you win eight in a row.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Alexa about that.
They're 5 points up on Vancouver, and they're 6 points up on Calgary. The thing is, though, Vancouver is two games in hand, so that's 4 points. Calgary, they have three games in hand, so that's 6 points. Again, we have a ways to go, but there's a bit of separation now starting.
There is. It's lining up really interestingly. And whoever I feel, I really wondered, every matchup is intriguing right now on paper.
Everyone is.
And it would be interesting to see Winnipeg against the second wildcard team, especially if it is the Blues or a team that's going to run in hot. Because whoever clinches that, if it isn't the Blues, it's going to be a team that is just surging at the end of the season. And it will be interesting to see how that momentum carries over against the best team in the West, who haven't had to play all that competitively.
No.
I know they still are in the professionals.
They haven't played competitive hockey since the second week of October.
Well.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying.
It'll be interesting to see a team that's just been able to coast against a team that has, scrapped and clawed their way in.
Right.
So we'll see.
Lock of the night.
You're going to love mine. So,
of course, I know. Go ahead.
Just to point out, I went 3-for-3 the first time we did this earlier.
Yes, because you picked the heavy favorites to go against teams that barely win.
There was one upset that I threw out there. That still
you did
happened.
Okay.
But yes. So what? You just have to get them right.
It's fine. It's a lock of the night. That's what it is. It's a guarantee of the night.
Okay, here's an underdog for you then in the West. The Ducks beat the Rangers.
I have that too.
I knew you would, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't pick it just because I knew if I was going to pick Vegas to beat the Blackhawks, you'd be like, oh, Victoria, it's so you. So
is that what I do?
I'm going to something like that to that effect. So I'm going to go with Anaheim instead because the Rangers we know are broken.
Mm-hmm.
They've needed to win these games already.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're out there. I think they're enjoying the sunshine, bidding the season adieu subconsciously. Not consciously, of course. And Anaheim has absolutely nothing to lose right now. And they would love to just be the mighty, mighty team from MSG.
They could be the mighty, mighty Ducks again, too.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Well, how's that?
Do you know that this puts it all into perspective? Then we'll take a break. The Rangers have 74 points. Guess how many points the Ducks have?
And it's not in front of me.
70.
Yeah.
There's a 4-point gap. You would have told me on the end of March that you and I would be saying there's a 4-point gap in the standings between Anaheim and the Rangers.
Anaheim has been competitive. Not quite good enough, but they've been competitive. Bright future for that team.
And the Rangers have not. Shakeups are coming. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the East. Talk about Torts. Speaking of shakeup in Philly, I saw that coming for years. Alexa Dad, too, will join us later on. We'll go back in the Blues. We'll talk to her about the St. Louis Blues and how this amazing run that they're on. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All right, from the West to the East we go. Welcome back, Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll revisit the West specifically with the Blues. Alexa Datt, St. Louis Blues reporter and host. She'll join us in just a bit. For the last segment, we'll go 7 seconds in with Alexa, too. There's a real neat place that she interned at, which I had no idea about, and I'm absolutely envious because it's one of my favorite shows. That's a hint. She interned at a place with that was a show. I think it's still a show now. I think so, and we'll talk
about it. I have no idea, but it's a show that we all recognize, that's for sure. Do you know she's covered basketball as well?
Yeah, she's done everything. Yeah,
she is definitely a five-tool player, that's for sure.
Rather than a jack of all trades, a Jill of all trades.
I think we could still use Jack. It's okay.
I know, but get it though, Jack Jill. Okay. No,
yeah, I do.
That just went right over.
I used
over
to
your
wear
head.
That. I used to wear that playing hockey.
It's been
Jill.
A long week. let's go east. We'll talk Ovi. Not so much the record, but the classy move that he did last night in that game against Minnesota, game that they lost. The Habs. By the way, nobody wants to take that second wildcard spot in the East. We'll talk about that, Montreal specifically. Let's begin though, Vic, with the news coming out of Philly. This was this week, and I'm not surprised. I thought this needed to be done a while ago, a long time ago. John Tortorella out as head coach in Philly.
You and I have very different opinions of him.
I know we do.
I'm a much larger fan, largely because of who he is off the ice as well. But I like the guy. He's a great soundbite. I think he really cares. I don't think he always necessarily meshes with more sensitive players and younger players, and I think we all recognize that. I thought that he would last the season and they would look at matters in the offseason. I mean, he was up with the Jack Adams last year, Ryan. Mm-hmm, I know we say that all the time, and it's not a first that a coach can be so high and then be let go the next season. We see it constantly, but still, I thought this would last. I thought Danny Briere would last until the offseason before deciding making a move or not. But this week, Ryan, when he says, I don't even know what I'm doing here coaching this team. I don't know what to do with coaching this team in this in this position. And this. Yeah. I mean, you basically just kicked yourself out the door.
Mm-hmm.
What GM can just hang on and say, well, we're just going to ride it out. You need to bring an interim, non-interim. I know it's Bradshaw right now. I don't think it's going to be Bradshaw next fall.
No, I don't think so either.
We'll see how that all falls out. But yeah, I mean, Torts did this to himself. And I think he probably did it intentionally. The man is not stupid.
No, he's not, and this was not a good fit, and he has called himself out on a number of occasions over the course of this season, and to me, the again, that was a huge comment when he said, you know, I really don't have any energy and desire to coach the team like this.
This position.
Right?
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, and then he said, you know, it's on me. It's on me. I'm not getting the guys prepped. I'm not getting them prepped the right way.
Yeah.
And he said that a few times this season. I'm just going to say this. Yeah, he's a soundbite. Doesn't make him a good coach. He's a soundbite. He's had a good career. He's had a very successful career.
I would call it a great career, but okay.
Yeah. But the time is done. He's not a fan of the league. He's made it quite clear. He doesn't like the league. He's called it a stupid league. He doesn't like the young guys in the league doing all these.
That's a direct quote.
I mean, come on. If you call it a I'm sorry. The game is different. He keeps saying, oh, it's changed from. Of course it's changed from when you first broke in 99. He had a sniff of games, I think four, before he took on Tampa in 2000. So he's been doing this for 25 years. It's a long time. And it's changed. He's a very good coach at developing hockey players as humans. That's what I've always felt with him. I'm never going to knock him with that. But the game's changed. He has not adapted. He's not allowed himself to adapt to that game. And for that reason, I think that it's fine that he's out. I just think it had to be.
You don't think
done.
He coaches again in the NHL? I do.
I don't think he does.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do.
He's not going to coach a team that's not in a good spot. There's no chance because this will happen again. So what team in a good spot right now is going to fire their coach?
No. Not a team in a good spot. A team that should be in a good spot. Now, riddle me this. What do you think about him in Nashville next year?
I thought about that. I'm just going to maintain this. I don't see him coaching next year. Leave it at that.
I like him in Nashville. They need a shakeup big time. And I think the Jonathan Marchessos and the Forsbergs and the Steven Stamkoses on that team could use a little bit of a John Tortorella. I really do. I think that would be a very interesting fit. I will say this. Maybe he does take a year off. Maybe he never coaches again. Maybe he's back after a season.
Sure.
I have no idea. I believe he isn't finished. I don't think he is finished. But I think the NHL is more entertaining with John Tortorella in it.
Of course it is.
I hope. Hey, Brooksy. Hey, Brooksy.
But just for the sake of entertainment, you don't need to hire a head coach.
I don't know. I wouldn't. Yeah. That's why I don't work in management.
I understand. Let's move on. The Penguins, hats off to Sidney Crosby, mm-hmm. number 87, one of the greatest of all time. So he had a goal last night, and now he's at 20 seasons, averaging at least a point per game, and he passes Wayne Gretzky, who had the record with mm-hmm. 19. How many records are we going to see falling with Gretzky now? You got the 894, I'm kidding, he's got 150 yeah. records. A lot of them aren't going to fall.
Right.
But if you want to say Mr. Consistent, yes. year in, year out, yes. injuries, whoever is around you, whatever teammates you're playing with, whatever situation the Penguins are in, whether they're winning or losing, it is Sidney Crosby.
I think it's extra special. It's not as sexy as the goal record, just because it's a goal scoring league. We love goals, right? So the Ovechkin record is going to be sexier. But sure. in terms of somebody you want on your team, in terms of having an MVP, somebody who's gonna win you cups, which he has three times.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most consistent player. By the way, Gordie Howe is in third spot now. So it was Gordie Howe, Wayne Gretzky, and now it's Sidney Crosby. What a trio.
Yeah.
20 years. Never falling below the point per game pace, including mm-hmm. his rookie season when he erupted for 102.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never looked back. He's never missed one. It's not like he had a warm-up of two or 3 years.
No.
It's just incredible. And does he not do it next year? No. Of course he's going to do it next year.
Of course he is.
It's the consistency again, the reliability. He's missed some time because of injuries, but when he's played, he is money, Ryan. Money.
No, yeah, no, he is. He is. And I'm going to put this season into more of a perspective. Not that I don't think people need to understand that, because the Penguins are not having a good season.
They stink.
Yeah. Okay.
But they do. They really do, actually.
So he has been in the plus minus. He has been a negative only three times. Mm-hmm. First season, 102 yes. points. He was a minus one. I don't even think about that. It's only a minus one.
It's kind of funny when you think about it.
It is. Yeah. 2019-20, he was a minus eight. This season, he's a minus 23, yet he has 80 points, 26 goals, and 54 assists and 80 points. On a team that is dead awful, still continues to get it done.
And in that game where he scored and broke the record, the Penguins got absolutely pumped.
I know. Alex Ovechkin, he's going to be tied with Crosby forever. The great eight, number 87. And of course, Ovi's closing in on Gretzky with the 894. We also know that Marc-Andre Fleury will be tied with Sidney Crosby for the time that they had together in Pittsburgh. Awesome duo, along with Letang and everybody else, Malkin, on those Stanley Cup championship winning teams. This is Fleury's last season. Let's hope for Minnesota's sake that it continues on for a lot in spring hockey. Mm-hmm. We shall see. Last night, Capitals lose to Minnesota. That wasn't the story. Ovi didn't score. But the story was, when the game ended, a lot of the Caps left the ice. Ovi said, no. He went to the bench, called them back on in order to line up at center ice, and they all shook Marc-Andre Fleury's hand as the game. Awesome.
It really was completely unanticipated. He
for sure.
didn't have to do it, and none of us wouldn't have talked to him. Not other teams haven't treated Fleury that way, and we're not faulting them for that.
This was an
extra gesture, and it was more, I think it's extra meaningful because those two were rivals.
Yeah.
All those years that Fleury was in Pittsburgh, all those times Ovechkin played the Penguins, I mean, they faced each other, my goodness, countless times.
Oh.
And the mutual respect, the smiling and the patting, I mean, they're two first ballot Hall of Famers. There's no question of that. It was really, really great to see. It was a huge class act. It's something we're talking about now. And it was neat to talk about something other than the goal race for a minute.
Yeah, no, it was. And everything is going right, knock on wood, for this team. Everything for the Capitals. Even if they lose, I know they're in great, they're fine. There's no problem with what they're doing, and they're in the playoffs.
You
they
are
can just...
jinxing them somewhat.
No. I'm not right jinxing now. Any. I don't wish harm on anybody. I don't wish losses on anybody. I'm just saying that everything's going right for this team.
That's a big fat lie, by the way. You wish a loss against anybody playing the Maple Leafs at any night of your life. But anyway.
Victoria. Let's move on, shall we? Okay, speaking of, good segue. You didn't plan that one. We didn't plan it, but it works very well. Willie Nylander, he can score with the best of them. If it wasn't for Leon having the season he's having, Willie would be leading the league in goal scoring right now. He's really come into his own this season. I know he's one of the most talented players in the game. Leafs very lucky to have him. Any team would be lucky to have him. The skating, the playmaking ability, the attention to detail that knocked him a lot early on in his career. He's really come into his own, I think, under Craig Berube. I know he did well under Sheldon Keefe, but he wanted to say a quick word too on Willie.
It was last night in that mess of a game against San Jose
that the
Leafs pulled out of the fire
based on
straight skill and talent end, scored a couple goals to tie it up with like 46 seconds left in the game. Mm-hmm. It was just a mess. Mm-hmm. I don't mind them. Teams are going to have them. You can't have them consistently, but teams are going to have them. It's fine. The fact that the Leafs, they ended up losing in a shootout, the fact that they actually escaped that mess with a point, I think is
lucky.
Too good credit.
Yeah.
No chance they come back in that game and they get that point without William Nylander.
No.
And I'm just watching him specifically last night. And I'm at the point now, and people can scream at me all they want. He is the most valuable player on that team.
Oh, I'm not going to scream at you. 100% agree.
It isn't Austin Matthews. It isn't Mitch Marner. It isn't anybody else. I mean, that would be the argument. Mm-hmm. He, right now, he is not just based on the goal scoring numbers in my mind, but just watching him. He is that team's standout superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I wanted to talk about that because it was a light bulb moment for me. Watching parts of that game, just the way that he was clutch in the moment, scored when it mattered, and also the takeaways and the rest of everything else he does.
Everything
on the
he's
ice.
Doing, yeah.
His puck possession skills. He's just. I don't want to lose. I'll speak as a Maple Leafs fan for 2 seconds. I'm allowed to. I'm still human.
You're not going to lose him. Don't say that.
No. I don't want to lose Austin Matthews.
Right.
But. I really don't want to lose William Nylander.
No, and you know what? I think a lot of people, if they don't think that way when you like Toronto, when you follow them, I think you have to start to think that way. What I love most about him, he doesn't look like he's trying. He's one of those players that everything
he's
comes
Swedish.
Naturally to. Yeah, he's incredibly fast. He is so bottom heavy, which is where he gets that quick stop and quick start and the pivots and the moves and yada, yada, yada. The stick handling is second to none. But I like the most about him that, you know, when he scores a goal, he celebrates, but he doesn't go crazy. He never does. He never has. And he just loves to play the game. He loves to play the game. Of hockey.
Any chance on this planet he catches Dreisaitl? It's 42 to 47.
Yeah, I'll say no.
Yeah.
It would be quite a story, but I'll say no. If the gap was a little bit less, perhaps, but I think still that gap, even though it's not huge, you got to look at the amount of games that they have left to go.
The fact that Dreisaitl is expected back soon, that's what tells me it's just the five. Yeah. Five goals isn't a ton,
right?
But Dreisaitl scores every game when he's
that's
healthy,
right.
So,
that was a brutal loss last night for the Montreal Canadiens. Not only do you lose to a team that was coming off a 7-2 drubbing at the hands of Toronto, the Philadelphia Flyers, you lose to a terrible club that just fired their head coach.
Yeah,
you lose
but
6-4.
I think that's the fresh coach bump thing, though. I think the fact that Torts was out the door, I think the players always have that response or usually have a response when they come out
it doesn't matter.
Than usual.
It doesn't matter. If you're Montreal, you need those 2 points. I don't care who's behind the bench. You can bring in some Hall of Famer behind the bench. You look at what they've done or what they haven't done. Yes, they've had points in 2 of the last 4 games, but they came in overtime and the other one came in the shootout. You lose 6-1 to the Blues. The Blues are playing well. We'll talk to Alexa Datton a little bit about that. Yes, tough game. But then you give up 6 goals again. That's 12-2. And guess what? You have Carolina tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Again, that's the insight.
It's,
I know. But
it was just such a happy story earlier. Now, they did get hosed on another goalie interference call last night as well. However, I don't think that was a game changer, unlike in the the case of Calgary. It's they were also just beaten. And again, I do think that the fresh coach change that very day actually does make a difference. But you're right. There's no excuses. And it's not just the one game. As you pointed out, they pulled a lot of these ones out of the fire. Mm-hmm. And they've been a little bit fortunate. It's going to be – so who catches them?
Well, it's glad you brought that up, because if you look at the standings, nobody wants it. Nobody wants that second wild card spot. Montreal, 75 points. They're in that spot. They've lost two. They've won three of the last 10. The Islanders, 1 point back. They've won four of the last 10. The Rangers, 1 point back. They've won three of the last 10. Columbus, 2 points back. They've won two of the last 10. Let's include Detroit. Why not? 3 points back. They've won three of their last 10. So as of right now, nobody is going to catch them, because nobody seems to want this.
To pick one, who is it? Is it Montreal still for you?
Probably. Okay. Big concern though, and then we'll do one more. Then we'll hit the break and get to Alexa. The goals for and goals against. They scored 215, given up 240. I know it doesn't help giving up 12 in the last two. That's a minus 25 differential. Right. Yeah. It's not going to win you many hockey games in the playoffs if you get in.
It sure isn't.
Hey, question for you. We talked about who's going to get that second wildcard spot. Could the Boston Bruins really finish dead last in the Eastern Conference? They're only 3 points out of dead last, Vic.
They sure could. It feels really sad in Boston right now.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
And you're having issues with players taking time off and players calling out their goaltenders, and deservedly, by the way, but it's a sad, they lost the heart and soul of that team in Brad Marchand at the trade deadline. It's basically the David Pastrnak show every single night, and that's it. And I feel sorry for David Pastrnak, because he's basically doing it all on his own. The defense has been awful. Now they are without two key players, Lindholm and McAvoy, so fair's fair, but still, other teams, look at what Minnesota has managed without three of their best players. It's lousy. I think this team just needs a restart.
They need the season to end.
They need people to play center properly. Because everybody that they've tried to plug in to replace Patrice Bergeron has fallen flat. So they need to make some moves in the offseason, and they need a fresh restart, and nobody needs it more than Jeremy Swayman.
How about this? And then we'll do the lock of the night. Imagine if the league still did the kind of 1 through 30 thing, or now 32 thing. So whoever finished dead last automatically got the first overall pick in the NHL draft. Imagine that discussion at this moment. If that was still the case in the league, and Boston was losing the games that they're losing, and the Bruins, who have been a great team, all of a sudden would draft that first overall pick.
Right.
I know it's not going to, I'm just saying.
Well, you could even have the same conversation about a team like the Predators as well, right?
For sure.
There's
absolutely
teams that are
yep,
more quality than the standings reflect.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm glad we don't do that anymore, by the way. I don't like the giving somebody a reward for tanking. I've never enjoyed that. I never liked it when it was the case.
But if you don't tank, you should get rewarded. Fine line.
That's what I've always thought. I thought that if you are the first loser to not make the postseason, you should have the number one draft pick. That's how, you know, that's how we do it in my fantasy league.
Yeah. It's nice every when year. You're a loser to come out a winner. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
No losers. Lock of the night, quick, before we get to Alexa Dad in the East.
Columbus beats the Canucks.
Oh, my. Columbus beats who? Or Ottawa?
No. Columbus beats the Canucks. What are you looking at?
Oh, I'm looking at Saturday. You're right. I have Columbus as well. That was why Columbus was on my mind. So we both agree that our
Columbus
picks in the East
the Canucks.
And our picks in the West. No, we both agree. Yeah, I had it complete. I had Ottawa on my mind for whatever
but they've
reason.
Had and That's probably the same all. Reasoning. They've had like 5 days off. Everybody's healthy now, and Columbus is now looking at the standings, saying we can go get it. And I think that's going to matter.
A lot of great games tonight. A lot of points on the line too. And then we go into a crazy weekend. Who knows what's going to happen when we reconvene on Monday. We'll take a break. Alexa Datt will join us, and we'll go into the St. Louis Blues as she covers the Blues as a host and reporter. Bucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash, Alexa coming.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maddiash.
Well, always envious of individuals who get to cover two sports at once. And it just so happens that our guest, Alexa Dadd, is actually doing that thanks to Major League Baseball starting yesterday. She joins us now, St. Louis Blues reporter and host, as well as covering the St. Louis Cardinals. You must be on cloud nine.
Yeah, there's really nothing better than this time of year, honestly. When the two sports overlap and my schedule gets so hectic, people are like, when do you have time to sleep? I'm like, when I'm dead, right?
Right.
Later on in life, we kick that can down the road. Right now, we're covering two sports and we are thrilled to be doing it. So yeah, I'm in heaven right now, for sure.
Off
Ryan
to a
and
good
I
start.
Say that we say that all the time because this is what we mostly do, not just this podcast, but in general and covering hockey. And it's not like work. It's just... we would be sitting around and talking about hockey anyways, so it's sort of neat when people give us a little bit of money for it, right?
Yeah, it's fun work.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So let's talk Blues, shall we? We'll go into 77 seconds with you too later on. Just some quick fun questions to ask you, hockey and non-hockey related. The Blues win last night. They come back against Nashville. They won. I'm not even going to go through the games that they won. They won a bunch. What has been the reason for what?
Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah. What has been the reason
for
this
fandom coming out? Right.
Oh, huge. Yeah. What's been the reason for this turnaround?
Honestly,
let me rephrase. I want to phrase it how I have it on the lineup.
Sure.
Okay. Alexa, why don't the Blues lose anymore?
There we go.
Both great questions.
Yeah. Right.
No matter how you phrase it, honestly, it's going to be the same answer, and it's going to be Jim Montgomery.
Okay.
So the Blues had their eye on hiring Jim Montgomery for a while now, and it just so happened to work out where they were able to get their guy. But it didn't end up happening till the end of November for this team. And so because of that, he didn't really have the time to implement his strategy with these guys, right? Mm-hmm. You're on the road. You're in game mode. You're not in long week practice mode to try and figure out, who's where, when, why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're just in action. So the Four Nations break, obviously, for a lot of teams, gave them the chance to recover from injury and, kind of regroup. For the Blues, it gave them a chance to implement Jim Montgomery's strategy. Mm. And that, honestly, has been the biggest difference maker for this team. He got week-long practices with the entire group all together to just be able to say, here's what I'm looking for. Here's how we shore up our defense. Here's how the defense join the rush. Here's how we protect the puck. Here's how we're efficient in all three zones. Little things that have made a huge difference for this team. And also, no one's really a superstar on this team just yet. You have Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, obviously, who are carrying the bulk of the salary. But when you look at across the board, you've got offer sheet guys, Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway. I mean, if you're the Oilers, you're kind of kicking yourself at this point, but these two
sure are.
You are. I mean, come on, for a third round pick, basically. So you must be losing your mind, especially with the injuries right now to the Oilers in Drysdale and McDavid. So, it's kind of been this like really awesome gel of all guys coming together at the same time, but it's under the umbrella of Jim Montgomery and his strategy.
That might be the most comprehensive answer we've ever been given to a hockey-related question on this podcast,
Ryan.
Yeah,
no, I love
Ryan.
It. It covered
honestly,
everything.
It makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that doesn't necessarily explain why Jordan Binnington is playing so much better, because he did not attend those practices. He was too busy winning gold for Canada. So, and he looks like a different player, too. Does it just come down to the team accomplishing playing better in front of them, or is there something that's going on with him personally as well?
It's a bit of both, right? But I think for Jordan Binnington, when you put him on the national stage, whether it's the Olympics or the Four Nations tournament or even the Winter Classic, I'll be honest, having, all eyes on him, he thrives in that environment. And that's what a true winner does. A lot of people crumble under that kind of pressure. But for Jordan Binnington, he takes his game to the next level. And that's honestly what elite players do. For Binnington, it's interesting, too, because for him to be able to take that pride of country, right, he's wearing Canada across his chest, and translate that back to the Blues and say, well, listen, it's the same thing. I still have pride in this name across my chest here, right? It's just here in St. Louis. But kind of realizing that and getting a little bit of that vibe from the Four Nations break to bring to the back to the team, it kind of, came with him. And, same for Colton Parayko, who's unfortunately hurt right now. But I think representing your country just gives you an entirely different jolt of energy that supersedes really any game or matchup that you can play on any given day in the NHL.
I'll tell you something too with that. I know we all love the Four Nations, but one of the moments that I'll never forget is at the end of the game when Canada started to celebrate, you had the ISO of John Cooper talking to Jordan Binnington, and we all wanted to know, what's Coop saying to Binnington? And he's hugging him and probably sucking the life out of him because Binnington's trying to breathe. But basically he was saying, look, big time players step up in big time games, and these are big time moments, and you did it. I thought the confidence that he showed to Binnington, because a lot of people, Alexa, were questioning Canada, thinking, is Binnington the guy? He had some poor, you know, moments over the course of the tournament, but Cooper stuck with him. So you got Jim Montgomery in St. Louis. You have John Cooper on the national stage. That's huge for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And for Jordan Binnington, he believes in himself.
Yeah.
Right. So that's really where it all starts, is the fact that he's got this conviction and he knows that if he goes out there and, you know, proves it on every different level, that he'll, you know, the naysayers will eventually start to become believers. Mm-hmm. You know, I work with Hall of Famer Bernie Federko night in and night out. And Bernie and I are always saying, we're going to give Jordan Binnington his credit, even if the numbers aren't there, like the statistics necessarily. But he shows up in these big game moments. He faces a lot of high danger chances. Mm-hmm. He makes the big saves in the big moments. And some of that doesn't necessarily show up in the stat sheet. But Bernie and I are always saying, we're going to give Jordan Binnington his due here in St. Louis until the national media starts to recognize that what we're saying is right.
Do you find one last Binnington bit before we move on? Do you find that he thrives a bit in the face of the naysayers and the you can't do it and all that? We just noticed from a Four Nations perspective, he wasn't supposed to be the starting, according to Canada, he wasn't supposed to be the starting netminder for Team Canada at that tournament. It was good. It should have been Aiden Hill or even Logan Thompson or somebody else entirely, and they ended up going with him. Do you think that fuels him a little bit? Because that can work, that negativity can treat different players differently.
Sure. I mean, I think Doug Armstrong had something to do with Jordan Binnington's role in the Four Nations tournament, right?
Yeah.
So that was huge. But I think also he's clutch. And those guys that are clutch are really the type of players that, because they're so elite and the moment doesn't faze them, they can show up whenever they want to and be their best on any given night. Does he thrive in the face of it? Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think he uses it as fuel necessarily, because his emotions are like this all of the time.
Oh, okay.
You talk to him after a loss or you talk to him after a win and he's the exact same guy.
He seems that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very even keeled, but he's like that in the crease too, right? Not a lot of movement. He's pretty comfortable. You don't see his eyes darting back and forth. You see him kind of relaxed and calm. That's the kind of guy he is in real life too. So it's not an on off switch. That's Jordan Binnington.
Even when he's throwing water bottles in the direction of Nazem Kadri, right?
Ooh, that was really fun, though, wasn't that? He gets a little spicy every once in a while. He's a competitor, right?
I think he can be a pretty spicy guy, too.
He can. Yeah. I got a good friend of mine. I do a weekend show with him, and he's really good friends with Binnington. So to your point, this is what he says, too, even keel. But when he needs to be and when he wants to be and feels the time is right to do so, he can add some spice. We talked a bit off the top, and you answered the question about why have the Blues been playing so well, and whether it's Montgomery, Jordan Kyrou, Thomas Binnington, whoever. You did mention, too, Holloway and Broberg, these offer sheets that, I mean, I'm telling you, there's been some great signings over the course of the offseason, some probably good ones at the deadline, but those two have to be some of the best right now for the Blues.
I mean, Dylan Holloway is 26 goals. You maybe thought you were going to get 40 points out of him,
sure,
right? And now like 70 plus potentially.
Yeah.
He's playing out of his mind. It is awesome to see. And when you go in the locker room and talk to him, he's like a young kid bouncing around in there, all smiles. He's been given the ice time and really the runway to go out and show what he can do. And when a guy like that, who has the talent and the skill and the speed, puts it all together for a team that believes in him.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest, there are times in my career where I've, you know, worked somewhere where someone hasn't necessarily believed in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't thrive in those kinds of environments.
Neither do I.
No.
Exactly.
No.
You come somewhere where somebody believes in you and they give you the runway and you just go for it. If you're willing to work hard and, you know, put yourself out there. Hey, listen, Dylan Holloway, magic can happen. And him and Broberg coming, you know, together, I think was really important too, because they were able to lean on each other. This locker room has zero egos where one guy's, you know, jockeying for position over the other as well. So welcoming
that's
you guys
so
in.
Key. That's so,
so
key.
Key.
Yeah.
They use the word love more than I've ever heard a locker room use the word love. Usually it's, oh, there's great energy in there. We're committed to each other. It's a great mm-hmm. group of guys, good mm-hmm. energy. No. It's the love word. L-O-V-E. Right. They're throwing it around like nobody's business. And it really is true. There's an awesome brotherhood of love between these guys this season.
That's absolutely adorable. I love that.
It's really cute.
And it is. Yeah. It's easier to perform anything when you have cheerleaders around you. It really
totally.
Is.
Yeah.
Again, it's a group effort. We've already talked about that. We don't talk about Blues players very often, like maybe Kyrou a little bit, Pareko when he isn't hurt, Binnington. Who's one player you would say we don't nearly talk about enough on this Blues team, one of the most underrated forms?
Oh my gosh, that's really hard to pinpoint because
just one. I mean, it doesn't have to be the most, but just somebody that maybe deserves a little bit more attention.
Their backup goaltender Joel Hofer, okay. who's been undefeated during yeah. this stretch, because if Jordan Binnington yeah. needs a night off, right, and with this condensed schedule after the Four Nations break, they've had to rely more on Joel Hofer to have like a 1 and 1A type situation. I mean, Binnington gets a lot of love, but I think, yeah, Hofer should too. He's learned a lot from Binnington. He could be a starting goaltender on half of the clubs out there, maybe yeah. more. And so for them to have that, you know, two goalie tandem, that's what you need nowadays to win in the National Hockey League. So Hofer's been huge, and his save percentage is higher than Binnington's as well. He's faced a lot of good shots and a lot of good teams, and he's come out on the other side, so it's been good.
It's neat to see how the game's evolved. If you have a 1A and 1B, you don't mm-hmm. need a 1 and a 2. You need a 1A and 1B. And if you're
exactly.
if you have that, you're pretty lucky. Let's get to some general questions about the West. The Avalanche loaded up, of course, at the deadline. Dallas did what they did with Mikko Rantanen, and Winnipeg added, but Winnipeg's been soaring, no pun intended, from the get-go of this season.
If
the
totally season... intended.
Oh, be quiet. Did. No. Alexa, I'll explain to you after. I do these things once in a while, but I was consciously doing that on purpose to... No, no. If the season ended today, if the postseason began, it would be St. Louis right now. They're in the second wildcard spot, and they would go up against Winnipeg. Very tough. Let me throw this at you. Of the teams like the Jets, the Stars, the Avalanche, the Kings have been playing well, Vegas, who's the scariest team in that Western Conference right now for you?
The Stars, probably.
Yeah.
Any team that makes consecutive trips to the finals, the conference finals, yep. and keeps knocking on the door over and over again, but just hasn't gotten there yet, I think is one of the most dangerous teams. They've like tasted it just a bit, but not enough. And mm-hmm. that fuels them. That likes a fire under those guys. I mean, Rupe Hintz, Ottinger, mm-hmm. Wyatt Johnston scored a goal the other night against the Flames.
He scores
and I was
a
like,
lot.
What? He just walked that in. I was like, what is going on? He's playing Calgary. they're a really fun team to watch. And I think overall, I mean, Rantanen, first of all, I'm not used to him in green yet. Is anyone?
No, like, not at all. Nope.
It's weird. It's different, right? We're still getting used to it. Yeah. But he's on a mission too. I think Dallas is terrifying. We played them during this stretch, and even though the Blues outplayed them, they still lost 6-3. They're kind of a dynamite team right now.
It's funny, Ryan and I were talking earlier. You can't disagree with everything you just said. They're one of the most balanced teams, not only in the West, but in the league. And right now they would face the Colorado Avalanche, who also seem terrifying to me. And one of those teams is not advancing to the second yeah. round. And I just think that's absolutely amazing. But all right, let's switch out of hockey a little bit. You are the first woman to lead a play-by-play call of the St. Louis Cardinals. That is impressive as hell. How was
Thank
that
you.
Experience?
Thank you. By the way, I appreciate that. It was good. It was nerve-wracking.
I imagine.
It was exciting. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, to call play-by-play for the St. Louis Cardinals, you know.
That's incredible.
It's the Yankees and St. Louis Cardinals in terms of, you know, baseball lore, right? Baseball
sure.
history. Two of the greatest franchises, legendary teams in the league, and one of the oldest sports in North America. So, it was remarkable. It was tough to do. I'll tell you that, spring training with guys' names not on the back of their jerseys.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how much preparation did
a
you
lot.
Have to do? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a binder over there that's like this thick.
Right.
Yeah, I bet.
Where guys came from, you know, yeah. which minor leagues camp they came from, what teams they played for, their stats and stuff like that. But mainly the thing that I relied heavily on was my storytelling, because being a sideline reporter and a host, that's mm-hmm. kind of what I've you know, grown up doing. So I weaved that in. So I talked to a lot of the guys and they're like, tell me your story. Why are you here? You know, and one of the guys was like, I grew up a Boston Red Sox fan. I went when they won the championship. That was really fun. Like,
right.
I'm just a baseball fan. And now I'm happy to be here in Cardinals camp. So, you know, we're talking and telling stories like that. You know, I'm from DC, so I'm a big Nationals fan, Capitals fan. So just kind of telling stories like that about where our fandom came from. You know, it's spring training, so it's a little bit more relaxed. But I did get to call my first home run, which was very exciting.
Great.
JJ Weatherholt, who's a prospect for the Cardinals.
You'll never forget that, huh?
I will never forget that. That was that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the whole experience was wonderful. And my co-host, Brad, was really great too. Brad Thompson, who played for the Cardinals, was a pitcher back in the day. He's fun. We have a great rapport. So we just tried to be as lighthearted and as fun during spring training as we could.
Fantastic. What an experience. I hope you get to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've called football games before. I've never done a baseball game. I've done some sideline reporting for baseball, but I always find it so important with baseball because it can drag. I mean, it can, as much as you love the game, it can drag. But if you're able to fill those gaps and fill the time lapses, if you will, with stories. And I remember Vin Scully was the best at that. He could, back in 1943, I was standing on the corner of so-and-so and I ran into so-and-so and that filled about 10 minutes of an entire inning. Right. But my point is that you got to have something like that. And I know certainly that you do.
Yeah. And I've been around this business for a while. So I grew up an Orioles fan.
Okay.
And then I went to the Nationals. I was one of those traders that switched over when the Nationals came to town. I've been a huge Capitals fan my whole life.
Yeah.
And then I went to New York for 12 years. So I worked at MLB Network and NHL Network covering, you know, both leagues and all the teams there. But I worked for the Mets inside their stadium. So I kind of became familiar with the Mets. And then I came here to St. Louis. So there's been a lot of exposure, you know, to different guys and different teams, and different systems. So that always helps out. You know, when a guy comes from New York and I'm like, hey, I was in New York, and you can kind of, you know, catch up with them that way. So
all experience
being
is
older
experience. It really
exactly
is.
Being
it
older
really
has its perks
is.
Right, Victoria?
It sure does.
Yeah, it sure does. Speaking of baseball, and then we can get into the 77 seconds, where did they won yesterday, opening day, where did they finish, all biases aside, where did they finish the season?
Well, if you ask a sellout crowd, they're going to win the World Series.
Right.
They're very gung-ho. No, they're a young team, young and hungry, and they're retooling, you know, using whatever word you want to describe it. But retool is kind of what they've settled on, reset. And I think it's really just about seeing what these young guys are. They're going to give them a huge runway this season. They're going to give them as many at-bats as they can with their star still in camp, Nolan Arenado, who they tried to trade in the offseason, and they just couldn't find a landing spot for him. But I think watching the development of these younger guys is going to tell you not who the Cardinals are this year necessarily, but who they are for the future. Mm-hmm. And then they can go out and spend money and add pieces where needed. But this year is really just kind of like a go out there and play guys and see what happens. Right. And it's a young team who they have a bit of experience from the past couple of years, but they're still fun. They're doing the little baby bird celebration when anyone gets on base or scores or whatever. And they're doing the, you can't see me when they steal.
Right.
You know, it's just like
that's
that kind of stuff that makes everyone, you know, love baseball all over again. So whether it's a win or not, I think it's going to be a fun season in St. Louis.
77 seconds. You ready for this?
Oh my gosh, you got me nervous when you sent me this email.
I know. He pumps everybody up so much, and I have no idea why. It's just a fun little segment.
I thought that my words were good, Alexa. I apologize for getting you.
I'm just kidding. Victoria knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Because everybody says the same thing. I've been really worried about this segment because of what you wrote in the email. So I got to start sending out the emails. Is all.
But we're really nice people. Yeah, Vic, you're going to handle this from now on. I'm not touching any of this
anymore.
Okay,
you launched this one, though.
Okay, so 77 seconds. Here we go again. Take as much time as you need. We'll give you 7 questions, maybe throw in a couple more because I want maybe a couple more that's not on the list. Number one, best ballpark for you to visit?
PNC Park.
Everybody says that.
Everyone says
Roberto Clemente Bridge in the background is so gorgeous with that backdrop on Three Rivers. It is
amazing. Looks
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to go.
We do. We actually do have to go. I think you might be the third person to say that. So
okay, good.
Your favorite place to be, rinkside, courtside, or on the diamond?
Ooh, that's
doing
a
your
great question.
Work.
Yeah.
You can't pick all three. I know, but I've loved basketball for mm-hmm. my entire life. And I started out as a college basketball sideline reporter.
Yes, you know.
Interviewing Bill Murray, like literally the comedian Bill Murray.
Yes.
Because his son, Luke Murray, was an assistant coach on one of the teams that I covered. And that was one of my first experiences in this business, honestly. I was nervous as heck, but mm-hmm. it was so exciting to be courtside and just living that energy. So to me, there's nothing like college basketball with that intensity inside, that energy.
Yeah.
Playoff hockey is really fun too, especially in the postseason. But if I have to go regular season, I'm going courtside.
Awesome.
Back to baseball. Automated ball strike challenge system, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's get it right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Why not?
I mean, why don't we want to use science? It's sitting right there.
Yep.
And also, I like to keep the umps, the human elements. It's still exciting, right?
Yeah.
So you keep them, but you get it right.
Yes, you can get it
you
right.
You can't take out the human element of the game.
No. I remember when they brought in the system in tennis and what a game changer it was for the better. And everybody, all the traditionalists were moaning and groaning about it. And then all of a sudden, they got the calls right.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
The eagle eye camera. Dream interview, any sport, dead or alive person, doesn't matter.
I have yet to meet Joe Buck. I would love to meet Joe Buck. One. Yeah, St. Louis, right? Like, Joe Buck, where are you? You're here somewhere. I know you are. Let's hang out. But I've read his book. I followed his career. He's one of my favorites to listen to of all time. So I would love to sit down with
Joe. He's a legend. There's no
He's
question.
He's a legend. Yeah.
I actually met him, side note, in L.A. last year or early. I can't remember. But him and Troy Aikman, they were in town to do an L.A. game. So we passed by and we're like, that's Joe Buck and that's Troy Aikman. Super nice guy. Troy's very big. Troy's a big boy. Yeah, very big boy. Best part, and I've been I lost sleep over this because I wanted to get this in. I've been so excited. Best part about working on America's Most Wanted?
Oh, okay, so I used to participate in the reenactments.
Oh my goodness.
So,
really?
Yeah. They would have the interns dress up. So there was a crime scene under the Key Bridge in Washington, D.C., and they would throw a bunch of blankets over me, and I would be like homeless woman number 4 under the Key Bridge. And I would be, and they would throw a bunch of filters over it so you could never tell that it was actually you. They'd never show your face, obviously.
Right.
But you were in the reenactments as a, as an intern, which was really thrilling, obviously, because you're like an actor, you know, 20 years old, that part. And then in the newsroom, there's a huge bell that when they would catch a predator, because mm-hmm. that was essentially the goal mm-hmm. of the show, mm-hmm. they would ring the bell and everyone would cheer and celebrate and they would put this guy away behind bars because it was a real deal. I mean, Walsh was really serious, obviously, what happened to his son.
That show. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were doing good and also having fun. So it was a pretty interesting experience.
That's awesome.
That is. Wow, you guys do your research. Look at
Ryan,
you.
Oh, there's more. Oh, there's more.
Ryan, I think, is really jealous of that situation. It's one of his favorite shows of all time.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not my cup of tea, but
no,
Ryan
and especially Payne. Because as what Alexis said about the John Walsh, the tie-in with that.
That's, of course.
Yeah,
let me tell you, meeting John Walsh was. Yeah. He's just as he seems on TV.
Does he?
And I think he sleeps in that white t-shirt and leather jacket.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's really
I can see
else.
That.
You have a dog named Bear. Am I correct?
I do.
Why does Bear have 10 times more Instagram followers than I do?
Bear. Bear's kind of a globetrotter. He's small enough to go with me wherever we go. So he gets to explore and see a bunch of things. And he's very smart and very stubborn, and has a lot of personality expression in his face. A lot of side eye, you know.
Right.
A lot of that kind of sassiness to him.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I think people really adore it. But he's also just like a huge cuddle monster, and he's got tons of fur. At being only 30 pounds, but it's like hard to lift him up because he's just covered in fur.
Right.
He's an angel. He's a baby.
He's really adorable.
He's
he
really cute. Thank you.
He's really adorable.
So we'll work on getting your Instagram followers up. Maybe we can have Bear be
I'm
in
a,
one
I'm
of
okay
your Instagram pictures.
Yes.
And then it'll be like a combo deal.
There you go.
Right. I'll post.
We'll ship him up to Toronto. He's a world traveler.
Vic's, I'm sure the cats in this house would really, really enjoy that.
He doesn't love cats.
Vic's following is going to be soaring in about half an hour. 1 to 10, how terrifying was the Edgewalk CN Tower?
0.
Really?
Really?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just cool as a cucumber out there.
Yeah.
There isn't enough money in the world.
Really?
Not enough money in the world. And it wouldn't matter. And you say, well, that's unrealistic, Victoria. Of course, you're going to take $5 million and do it. No, because I'd have a heart attack out there and die. And then I'll never be able to spend the money. No way. And you just nothing. It was just, that was just cool.
Yeah,
Heights miles doesn't... up in the sky, and it was just cool.
Heights doesn't do it for, I've gone skydiving twice, like, you know, bungee jumping twice.
My palms are sweating right now just in real time, just talking about this.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people that I talk to say the same thing, and it doesn't register for me. I don't know, there's something wrong with my brain.
No, I think
a lot of people will tell
you
that.
I think it's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. Ryan, would you do it?
I would do it, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. I mean, my heart would be pounding, but I would do it. Yeah. For $5 million, absolutely.
Oh, no, no. Okay, of course. 100%. I think most people would give it a go, but.
Very quick last one. Got to throw this in. Does Ovi get to Gretzky's record, and does he break it?
Yes. And
when?
Yes.
When? Yes and yes. When?
Yeah, it's going to be a health thing. So what he's got, 40, 42 left?
42 which?
How many goals does he have left to get there?
Six.
Ovechkin. He's got like
Ovechkin.
Six. Sorry. All right, six goals left. Let's give it to him this season.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get him to it this season.
I think they've got Vic has tickets to Columbus on the 12th, right?
Oh yeah. Mm.
So
and they're playing the Capitals playing there, so I'm hoping that they at least make it interesting.
That's the one.
So
I'll tell you, I was an intern for the Regional Sports Network in DC when Ovi came. And they sent me on one of my first assignments to essentially his introductory press conference. It was really the scrum. There were a million media members there. Yeah, I was looking at this blue-eyed Russian boy with the shaggy brown hair who barely spoke any English. He had a really thick Russian accent. Mm-hmm. And they were dubbing him the savior. And here you go. He's super brand new to the league. He barely knows anything about America besides the NHL footage that he's watched with his dad growing up his whole life. Mm-hmm. He's a huge San Jose Sharks fan because he loved the shark chomping on the hockey stick exploding logo. Yep. You know what I mean? He loves pineapple on pizza. His mom played, I think professional basketball.
She was and an then Olympian,
his dad,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his dad just sat with him and drilled all sorts of hockey highlights into his head and said, you got to be a physical player and you got to, shoot the puck. And that's just essentially who he is. He's a product of his parents and of a kid who just was obsessed with hockey. And watching that introductory press conference to where he is now, I mean, he's revolutionized the league, right?
Yeah,
he's absolutely transformed hockey for all of us. He's made us fall in love with hockey even deeper than we were previously. And to be honest, Gretzky's record was made to be broken. It just was. Like, eventually somebody was...
A lot of us didn't think so at the time, but now, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, but I think that the belief just wasn't there yet because nobody really knew that much about the ability of Ovechkin. I mean, he can camp out there on the ice and score. You know what's coming and you still can't stop it.
Yes.
So now seeing it over and over and over again, 800 plus times, everyone's like, okay, yeah, now we get it. This guy's an anomaly. It's insane.
The greatest pure goal scorer that we'll ever see. We're not going to see a goal scorer pure like this again. Alexa, this has been a lot of fun. We're out of time. Thank you for this. And again, totally envious of, I'm envious of the jobs, but also the America's Most Wanted thing. So that's fantastic. Thanks for this. Really appreciate it.
Brian, Vic, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.